I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8 and read through verse 16, and I invite you to follow along as we continue in our series on faith. We started last week and went from verse 1 through verse 7 of Hebrews 11. We'll pick up at verse 8, and I'll read verses 8 through 16 and invite you to follow along. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived in an alien land, as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Warren Wiersbe says this, "Waiting is for me one of the most difficult disciplines of life." And some of you say, "Hallelujah, amen." You know, waiting is a great challenge for many people. A lot of people find it difficult to wait. I mean, we find it difficult to wait for a traffic light, don't we? We find it difficult, sometimes even watching a program, especially a football game, when they have those blooming commercials that go forever. I'm not watching TV for the commercial. I want a Steeler. I want to see the Steelers ram the ball down the other team's throat. I'm sorry. Had to throw that in. I don't get excited about football. Some of us can't wait for the cold weather to go away sometimes, especially if you live in Florida, and we call it cold. I understand it's not cold, comparatively speaking, but we call it cold. Colder than 72 degrees, right? That's what we're supposed to have, that and better. Or the cold that you're sniffling with. We're very impatient. And it just takes time, doesn't it? Last time I checked, you can't snap a finger and make it go away. And I don't think there's anything out there that you can take that's going to make it go away. If there is, they wouldn't be on the shelf. People would be scarfing them up in a hurry. Waiting is definitely not a strong suit for a lot of people. In Isaiah 64:4, it asks, "Who is like the Lord, a God who acts on behalf of the one who waits for him?" You hear that? It says God's the kind of God that's going to act for you if you're willing to wait. How willing are you to wait? How much difficulty do you find in waiting? Warren Wiersbe also goes on to say, "True faith is able to wait for the fulfillment of God's purposes in God's time. You hear that? True faith. You know what I read from that? If he's correct, and I believe he is, if you're not willing to wait for the fulfillment of God's purposes in God's time, you don't have true faith. Last week we looked at Hebrews 11, 1 through 7, and we talked about true biblical faith being one who exercises biblical faith. He is not controlled by circumstances or by appearance. He's not controlled by what he can see or even what he can touch. He's controlled by faith and trust in God. He, that is the one who's exercising biblical faith, not only is he not controlled by appearance, he lives to please God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And not only that, he moves to action. He doesn't just sit there, he moves to action because faith is active. If you're not willing to wait, if you're not willing to move, do you really have true faith? Remember I said last week, if you were here, that throughout this series, I'm hoping that by the end of it, all of us will be able to know for sure in our heart of hearts whether or not we really are exercising true biblical faith in God. And if not, I hope we're going to be committed to doing so. Look out if that's the case. Someone has said there is no time lost in waiting if you are waiting on the Lord. But when you think you're losing time or wasting time by waiting, if you're waiting on the Lord to act, you haven't lost a bit. But you have a whole lot to gain. We will continue today as we look at Hebrews 11, 8 through 16, where we will discover more traits, three last week, three more this week, more traits of one who exercises biblical faith. Ask God to help you see if you're exercising biblical faith. The first is in verse 8, he obeys when he doesn't know where he is going. He obeys God even when he does not know where he is going in obedience to God. The example given here in verse 8 is Abraham. And it says here that Abraham went without hesitation. Abraham obeyed. And what is implied here is Abraham moved to action. We'll see it later on. In other instances where Abraham moved to action, when God spoke, he moved. True faith always leads to decisive action. True faith doesn't sit unless God says sit. True faith moves into action when God speaks. When Abraham heard the call, he arose without hesitation. And he went out from Ur of the Chaldees, demonstrating the genuineness of his faith. When he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Literally it reads, as he was being called, he obeyed. That's kind of like, you know, when God says jump, on the way up you ask how high? That's the example here. As he was being called, he moved to action. I don't know about you, but I try not to disobey God. I try to obey God. But when it's a little more difficult sometimes, I do kind of, you know, drag my feet a little bit. And I asked God several times, you know, are you sure? Let's try that a different way, God. Rather than moving to action as God is speaking. He went without hesitation in obedience to God, even though he did not know where he was going. He was leaving a land, folks, Ur of the Chaldees at that time, blessed by good fortune and at the very height of its prosperity. And he went out to where he did not know where he was going. He left it all. Abraham is an illustration of verse 1 of Hebrews 11. He is a good illustration of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. The assurance, the essence of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He hoped for it. He had not seen it. And yet he went out not knowing. There are two essential components of faith I just read. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. Abraham demonstrated it in his own life. You and I should as well. John Calvin says this, "It is no ordinary trial of faith to give up what we have in hand in order to seek that which is afar off and unknown." You hear that? It is no ordinary trial of faith. This is a great trial of faith. It's a great test of our faith. To be told by God to do something and we don't know exactly what it is. We don't know where. We really don't know all the hows. Nor do we know how long. Abraham didn't need all that. All he needed was the Word of God. Because Abraham also, he set out without hesitation in hope of an inheritance. That's what the text tells us. He set out in hope with the confident expectation, remember? Biblical hope is a confident expectation that God is going to come through on what he promised. He set out in hope, firmly grasping the promise that God had made of an inheritance. In other words, the Word of God was sufficient warrant for his going. And I'm afraid sometimes God speaks to you and God speaks to me way too many times before we move. And it's many times because we're not willing to go in obedience until we know more. Last time I checked, God doesn't have to give us everything, just His Word. And we should move to action. Abraham did. He was willing to step out in faith. Waiting upon God. Remember? Waiting upon God. Waiting and faith are so intertwined throughout the Scriptures. You're waiting in faith. You're waiting in confidence of God coming through. And you're willing to continue to wait because you know God is going to come through. He, Abraham, was willing to step out, trusting God, waiting upon God to fulfill His purposes in His time. Are you? Are you exercising that kind of faith that you're willing to step out and trust God when He gives you His Word that He'll come through? And you're willing to wait however long it might be with the confident expectation that God is going to come through on what He promised. Martin Luther says, "This is the glory of faith, simply not to know." Is he nuts or what? This is the glory of faith, simply not to know. Not to know where you are going, what you are doing, nor what your journey may cause you to suffer. But you go in obedience to the one who bids you go. Do you obey God, even though you may not know where you are going. The one who exercises true biblical faith also follows when the way seems impossible. He follows even when the way seems impossible. We're going to skip to verse 11 and 12. We'll come back to 9 and 10 later. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Abraham and Sarah. Here's the deal, folks. When God came to them and said that this time next year you will have this child that I promised, you know how old they were? 89 and 99. Now, last time I checked, that's not the prime years for childbirth, nor for being the male who's involved in that process as well. And I would say this, to them, it must have seemed impossible. And we always say Sarah laughed. Well, so did Abraham earlier. So to both of them, it was probably ridiculous. Come on, God, give me another one. What in the world are you talking about? And I'm sure God has presented things to you in your lifetime as a Christian that seem utterly ridiculous to you. I'm pretty sure that we concluded last week that when he came to Noah and told him to build an ark because he was going to flood the whole world, and not knowing what in the world a flood was, nor an ark, he probably thought it was pretty ridiculous. But he obeyed. And I'm certain, there's no doubt in my mind, that those around him thought he was a lunatic. Though it might have seemed impossible, he obeyed God. Though it might have seemed impossible, Abraham and Sarah obeyed God. Because they considered God faithful. You hear that? They considered God faithful. Sarah could no longer bear children, but God had promised. And as I said, both had laughed. But ultimately, they put their trust in a faithful God. Let me ask you this. After you laugh, do you trust? After you stammer and stomp around and say, "You got to be kidding me, God. I'm going to give up what? In order to do what?" Folks, there are people all over this world who have gone in obedience to God and seen the hand of God demonstrate His faithfulness time and time and time again. I want to tell you, I'll give you a testimony. I've been in this church family 26 years. Debbie and Vangie have been in here 26 plus years. Have we not seen God do things when it looked ridiculous? Now, we try to be pretty level-headed around here. We're fairly conservative about what we do. Now, one thing that comes to mind is we, very first time we brought a full-time youth pastor on at this church, and I don't even know how many years ago. Rory's been here, bless his sweetheart, for 14 plus, right? 13 or 14, but it was quite a ways beyond that. We brought Troy Knowlton. Some of you remember Troy, probably. We were not meeting budget. We stood right here in this room in August of that year and said, "We're going to bring on a full-time youth pastor." And all I can remember is one of the godly gentlemen standing up and saying, "Well, how are we going to do this?" I get a little smart aleck at times, I know. I tried to be as kind-hearted as I could. I said, "We're not. God is, because we have prayed and we've asked God and He said, this is what you should do." Now, not only did we meet budget with the extra amount, which at that time was a significant amount added on to one who wasn't even meeting budget, we not only met budget, we went beyond it the rest of that year. That is one of the clearest times I've seen us do something that the world would have said, you're nuts. The business world would have said, you're taking too big a gamble here. It was simply because God had affirmed in the hearts of the leaders and then, praise God, in the hearts of the congregation at Northwood, move forward. This is what you should do. But that's just one example of time after time after time that God has come through. That building behind me comes to mind that some of us thought we wouldn't see it in our lifetime, right, Bob and Bill? As they worked diligently to help get that building completed. I mean, it wasn't once, it was a thousand times. We laughed and joked about it. Will we ever see this? They're here. Pretty healthy gentlemen, praising God and continuing to serve Him in the building they labored for. We stepped out and we believed God, and we use that building a whole lot more than we ever dreamed we would, I think. At least more than I thought we would. It's just getting use all the time. Not only us, but others in the body of Christ. And even people outside the body of Christ, we've allowed to use the facility as an outreach to our community. God is faithful. And they just happened to believe, Abraham and Sarah just happened to believe that God was faithful. So they were willing to trust Him for the ridiculous and the impossible. Lamentations 3:23, we read, and it says, great is your faithfulness. And great is His faithfulness, but we sometimes forget verse 24. The Lord is my portion. Remember, the faithful God is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope, confident expectation, trust in Him. Why? Because He's faithful. Therefore, my soul has hope. Why? Because He's faithful. Always has been. Always will be. God is able and God is willing to fulfill His promises to His people. Abraham and Sarah, I will say this, did not lean on their own understanding. But in all their ways, they acknowledged Him. Why? Because God's ways are beyond ours. God's ways are beyond ours. Verse 12. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that. Now, wouldn't you like that to be said about you? Oh, he's just as good as dead. I mean, he was old, folks. As many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. God's ways are beyond ours. Therefore, it says in verse 12, it begins with therefore. It points to the logic of faith which opens a door to the experience of miraculous results. Hear that? It points to the logic of faith, right? At least biblical faith says God can do anything He pleases, whenever He wants. And if God says this is going to happen, we as followers of Christ, followers of this great God, need to be willing to trust Him even when the way seems impossible. Why? Because God's ways are far beyond ours. One as good as dead can become a parent. And not only that, he can become the ancestor of a nation with a numberless multitude of offspring and be a blessing to the world through an old man who is as good as dead. I'm convinced God loves to do that kind of stuff. I am convinced that God uses people who are open and yielded to Him, though they may be weak, though they may not be flashy. You know, Charlton Heston was Moses, right? I'm not sure God would pick a Charlton Heston. I mean, he used Gideon. Remember, Gideon wasn't much of a warrior. Scared spitless. He didn't know what to do. But God used him because he made himself available. God will do the impossible. We need to trust him. Isaiah 55:9, God says, my ways are higher than your ways. And guess what? My thoughts are higher than yours. So when we're faced with something, what do we usually do? Come on, we think about it from our perspective. We look at it from our perspective, and then we get the opinion of the world sometimes. And we realize that people around us say, you got to be kidding me. That's utterly ridiculous. You're going to do what? I've known people who've given up their jobs to go into ministry, gave up their retirement, cashed it all in because they were following God. And to this day, they will say, praise be to God, hallelujah, I'd do it again. With nothing to go on but the prompting of God made evident through His Word. Sight, that is sight, what we see, says it is ridiculous. It is impossible, and it's not going to happen. Faith says God can, God will, and takes him at his word, even if it seems impossible. The one who exercises true biblical faith also finally endures by looking beyond this world. He endures by looking beyond this world. Back up to verse 9. By faith, Abraham lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham here in verses 9 and 10 is an example of one who was persevering through unfavorable circumstances. He was persevering through unfavorable circumstances. Have you ever had unfavorable circumstances in your life? You say, I'd like to see some of those favorable circumstances once in a while. If it wasn't for unfavorable circumstances, I wouldn't have any. Maybe you feel that way. Abraham didn't give up. He kept persevering. He kept persevering. Through the unfavorable circumstances, Abraham reached the goal and found that the fullness of all that he had been promised was not yet. I'm here, oops, but it's not yet. How about that? God says, go, and you go, and you think of all this you're going to receive, and then all of a sudden it's, whoop, not yet. I just wanted you to obey. I want you to follow. Living as an alien was much less favorable by worldly standards than the stability that he had enjoyed before. And he gave it up in obedience to God because he exercised faith and trust in God. Abraham is a magnificent example of the spirit of faith and perseverance which overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4. This, what overcomes the world? Our faith, John says. Our faith. What overcomes the world? Our faith and trust in Him. Not in ourselves, but in Him. We will overcome the world. Abraham overcame all the things that he was subjected to because of his persevering faith and trust in God. I'll just say this. By faith, he pressed on, I believe, knowing that this world was not his home. Likewise, you and I should. By keeping an eternal focus. By keeping an eternal focus, we can endure because we're looking beyond this world to our real home. These folks that we're reading about were like you and me, citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. He said, but I'm a citizen of the United States of America. Great. I'm happy to be that as well. But that's not my true citizenship. If that's what you're clinging to, you got it all wrong. You will not exercise faith because this world is everything to you. This world's the end all. And so what the world dictates, that's what you'll do. You will measure everything according to the standards of the world, which would say a lot of what you do as a Christian is ridiculous, stupid. You're a nut. Not everything, but much of what we do. You know, I'm sure people thought J.C. Penney was a nut for giving what I understand 90% of his income away. Now, obviously, we know the other 10% probably was a pretty decent living. I've heard that with Holiday Inn guy at one point. Letourneau out in Texas, very wealthy man, used to do something similar. Why? Because they were looking to the eternal. And they did what the world said is ridiculous. You're going to give all that away? Now, guess what? They were all blessed and continued to be so. Why? Because they looked at the eternal. They were focused on the eternal, not today, not the temporal. Why? Because they knew they were citizens of heaven. Verse 13, not receiving the promise, but having seen the promise from a distance, they greeted it as reality. Did you hear that? They greeted the future as reality. Why? Because of their trust in God. That's why they continued. They continued to endure because of their trust in the God who promised. What does that sound like? The assurance of things hoped for. They had the assurance. They had the confidence of things hoped for. So therefore, they could keep moving forward in faith and trust in God who made the promise. Has God promised you victory? He has said you are more than a conqueror, okay? So if you're sitting here thinking you can wallow around in defeat and that's normal, you're crazy. Because God said because of His power in us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. We are more than conquerors. We can resist temptation. Why? Because He provides the way of escape that we might endure it through whatever we have to go through, He says. Why? Because He promised. And because He's faithful. We can keep on keeping. And we're going to talk more about this, the trials that we face. We're going to really nail that in a couple of weeks. Because that's the reality. That's where we really need to learn to endure. But having said that, let's remember today, that is Abraham, and specifically, was persevering through unfavorable circumstances, and all of those like him that are written here were keeping an eternal focus beyond this world. The real city they were looking for, that God, who prepared it? God was the architect. Now you say God made this world too, but yeah. He's going to do away with it because He's got a new one coming. And that's what I need to live for. I need to live for eternity, not today. I need to focus on eternity, not today. I need to run with perseverance, Hebrews 12, the author says. We looked at that a few weeks ago. I need to run with endurance, with perseverance, the race that is set out before me. Focusing on Jesus, the author, the completer, the perfecter of my faith. Not on today, but on the future. Knowing its reality. It makes it all worth it, folks. If you have this world only to live for, I pity you. Go ahead and get frustrated. You got it right. Get depressed, because you have all the right in the world to be depressed. If you're looking at this world, But we don't. We have an eternal focus. Colossians 3:1, we set our mind on things above, not the things of the earth. Not the temporal, but the eternal. And as I focus on the eternal, I am willing to endure whatever because I'm looking to the author, the perfecter, the completer of my faith who's promised. And He's faithful. He's faithful. Therefore, they were willing, and you and I should be willing, to walk by faith and not by sight. You get it? They walked by faith. They didn't have to see it because they had the promises of God. You and I as well have the promises of God. Let's be willing to endure as we trust Him because we're looking to our eternal home and to the one who bids us come. The one who says, follow me. As you're on this journey through this earth, follow me. Where is your focus? Where is your focus today? I've heard it put this way, the secret to living in this world is to focus on the next one. And I believe it. Focus on Him and live by faith and trust in Him according to His kingdom standards, not this world's standards. That's how we will endure. One who exercises true biblical faith is willing to obey and follow even into the unknown. He is even willing to obey God when the way looks impossible. Are you? And He's willing to endure whatever He has to endure in this life because His focus is on eternity. Please remember, Abraham was a stranger in this land. And I am no less than he. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the climb can seem so steep. Are you there? You're having trouble exercising faith because the climb seems way too steep for you. Yes, you say it seems impossible. And I'll just tell you, if you're on the path that God puts you on, it's not impossible. I may falter in my steps. Yes, you do. So do I. But never beyond His reach. And I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. Not just some, but all of them. Not just now, but forever. And step by step, you'll lead me. And I'll follow in obedience to you all of my days. Yes, there's a peace I hope you've come to know. Though my heart and my flesh may fail, there is an anchor for my soul in the toughest of times. And I can say, because of Him, it is well. It is well. There's a day that's drawing near when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows will disappear and my faith and your faith will be at sight. Because of that, let's stand and worship.